This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Donahue. In this episode, we are talking with Patty Jean McTernan, an Ayurvedic practitioner and student. In our conversation, we discuss what Ayurveda is, how it can be used in our everyday lives, and the power that it holds to start to shift our lives into one of ease. If you want more, check us out on patreon.com/illuminatepod. You can also follow us on social media, and as always, let us know what topics you would like to hear more of. But for now, enjoy getting to know Patty Jean. Okay, welcome. I am your host, Megan, and today we are speaking with my dear friend, Patty Jean McTernan. I'm pronouncing McTernan correctly?
Perfect.
So Patty Jean and I actually met at a yoga retreat this past October. And we didn't know, but we had been running in the same kind of circles for a while, right? We've been working in similar yoga circles in the kind of Boston area yoga scene. So we got to talking, and with Patty Jean, I'll let her tell you all about what she does and what she's into. But I said, oh my gosh, you know, got to get her on Illuminate, and we need to talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is Ayurveda medicine. So, Patty Jean, tell us a little bit for our listeners, what is Ayurveda?
So, with Ayurveda, it's going to be Ayur means life, and Veda is going to mean knowledge. So, when I'm sharing this knowledge, it's not anything that I take credit for. This is a system of medicine and art and science and philosophy and a way to reduce human struggles. Mm. And so we see in our individual lives, this struggles that we in some way, you know, create ourselves. Or in some ways, we can't remove ourselves from the struggles in our individual lives. And then we see that in our circles and in our communities and in the greater, you know, global issues that we deal with.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is nothing new. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so anything that I'm saying today or anything that I share with clients, this is coming from thousands and thousands of years of this knowledge of life.
Yeah.
And how can we work with this to reduce suffering? So that's what it really means to me in my heart. Mm-hmm. And then there's the specific definition, you know, if you break the words down in Sanskrit. So
and then
that's how we met, which was so awesome.
I know.
We got talking about it, but it wasn't our focus for the weekend, so we didn't get to talk too much, but thanks to you, I got a really nice, and a couple of our other friends that we met that weekend, and I got some nice support to move a little more in the direction of sharing before I graduate even from school.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's something that I want to learn more about selfishly, which is, you know, another reason why I definitely wanted to bring you onto this, but to share to our listeners and to others, because there is, and there are rather, you know, so many tools to help us just essentially navigate the day-to-day and our lives and all of the complexities that are in that, right? That, you know, what can we do to kind of, for lack of better words, go with the flow a little easier, right? Always easier said than done. But Ayurveda, when I, you know, before I took my yoga teacher training and before I kind of had any awareness of this, I thought Ayurveda was more of you know, a practice centered on, let's say, food. Now, is that the case? And that might be a misconception that's out there too. You think Ayurveda, maybe our listeners have heard something about, oh, I've got to add turmeric, or I've got to add cinnamon, and that's Ayurveda. But how is that not necessarily true, but also true? Seems to me it's much more complex.
Yeah. I love that you started with that because, you know, we come with all these preconceived notions right from the get-go of everything, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is sometimes what prevents us from truly having the best experience of whatever we're interacting with.
Uh-huh.
So I really love that you brought up a myth that not only applies to the specific topic of food, but there's a lot of other areas that there's these myths around too. But mainly my favorite part that you asked this first is that that so falls into Ayurveda is that it's not like a diet or a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's this overlaying part of way we can walk through life with less judgment and more acceptance. And so when it comes to food, back to your specific question, is there's nothing that's wrong or right as a rule. There's nothing good or bad. And I know people are like, well, what about coffee? That gives me the juice. That has to be bad. But then for someone else, that coffee might get them started in the day, and then they you know, balance out that coffee with other things. Like coffee can be drying. Coffee can, give people the jitters. Coffee is changing, you know, things that are going on in our body. But what else is going on in that day?
Right.
And so one big question we always ask is for who and when.
Interesting.
Who's taking this substance? And food can, you know, as we all know, nourish us.
Mm-hmm.
Or in certain situations, it can, you know, be poisoned.
Right.
So removing the things that are no longer serving us, which again, it's like all these things that we hear, it could be applied to food and it could be applied to so many other areas of life.
Yeah.
But the foods that aren't working for us in the beginning stages of getting out of balance, we usually know that. So after eating a big Thanksgiving dinner, you know, we will then back off or maybe have something lighter the next day.
Sure.
But then if we continue eating that same food over and over again, we're going to have an imbalance. And so that's where the food comes in, and it's very individualized. And in Ayurveda, we talk about the elements and how every substance, ourselves, every food, every everything, are a combination of elements. And then those elements in different combinations become our dosha.
Yes.
And so we can talk more about that when you're ready and when you feel like
absolutely
the time is right. But yeah, it is a myth, but we do have mindful eating, and it's not just what do we put in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we eat it, how we prepare it. What are we bringing to as we consume everything that we take in, food, drink, emotional media,
everything.
Yeah. So everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm.
But
and it seems that maybe this is too much of a generalization, but Ayurveda at one of its, you know, cores is finding that balance and finding what serves you as an individual, right? And what brings you into balance.
That is so, so exactly it. And it's not about being in balance, your balance, my balance. I mean, it's each one of us is born with a certain combination of these elements, which are then reflected in what we call doshas.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that, it's the idea of getting back to that. Prakriti is what we call it.
Okay.
Not getting back to some
standardized balance.
Standardized. Yeah, exactly. And that is what is at the root. You really got that. Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense, right? And I think maybe this is your perception or your experience, but it seems, you know, if there is, I know we talked about food being the sole kind of component of Ayurveda as we've debunked that myth, right? We've definitely debunked that already. But if that is what, you know, gets somebody curious and searching and maybe following this, then many of these other, let's say elements, not the elements that make up us, but, you know, the other elements in life will start to follow. It seems like more of, you know, a philosophy or a lifestyle of practice and searching rather than a cure-all or a one and done or just one simple thing, right?
Yes, you're so right with that. So when we talk about the food being the myth, coming back to that, what we take in, you know, and this isn't an Eastern philosophy, we know this in the West as well, what we take in is and has to be processed.
Yes.
And so again, whether it's a substance like matter, food, or it's an interaction, or it's a past experience, everything has to be digested. And how we digest and the health of our digestion, which in Ayurveda we call Agni, is going to affect our general health. Mm-hmm. And if we're in a dis-ease state, we are going to be out of balance. And then when you go back to the conversation that you were just bringing up about the other parts of our lives, if we are feeling heavy and we're feeling it's hard to get out of bed in the morning, and we are feeling very bulked up, we're going to have a harder time feeling light in that conversation we have with someone. And then that can add to it. And on the same side, if we're feeling very fiery and kind of hot-headed, whether it's the food we're eating, the experiences we're having, what we're watching on TV, mm-hmm. if we're not digesting it and coming back to that healthy constitution, it's very difficult to walk through life and just feel really great in our own skin.
Yeah. And I think it's really fascinating, right? Because when you hear it and the way you explain it, it makes it seem so simple. Right. And there's so many tools out there that we can just be like, oh my goodness, yeah, let's just get back to this state of ease. But we know that it is kind of a, I don't know if I want to say complex, but it definitely takes commitment, right? Again, it's not a quick fix. It's not a one and done per se. And this knowledge has been around for so long, right? And it is you know, I would say a more traditional Eastern philosophy, mm-hmm. but as you just mentioned, it, you know, it transcends, you know, anything, right? What are some of the things that you've experienced as you have kind of started down this path of, okay, well, it's going to take like a village, right? It's going to take a village within me. I need to, you know, start walking the walk and talking the talk. You know, in addition to talking the talk, rather. Does that make sense? You know, what are some of the things that you have experienced in your journey so far?
I was hoping
Ayurveda?
You'd ask this, actually.
Okay.
I'm you know, talking to you on Zoom, mm-hmm. but right up above us, I put like little things to remind myself. And one of the things is small steps matter.
Mm.
And so, like you said, this isn't a quick fix. One of the things is just taking a moment to even notice how we feel.
Yeah.
So like coming on with this conversation that we're having, you know, to be in the best place I could be, I stopped and made sure that I wasn't, you know, eating food on the go to come and grab this interview with you and be ready to go off to do the next thing. Like taking a few moments, settling into your own body and even seeing what comes up. Like, you know, past stories that you might have to say, you know, like public speaking, you know, is sometimes difficult, and some memories from the past of, you know, like maybe trying out for something and it not going so well can slip in. And then I'm focusing on that instead of focusing on you and your listeners and what message, you know, is present right here in this moment. And so I'd say that is the first, you know, small step that we can do. How that worked for me was beginning with breathing practices. Thankfully, going back about 10 years ago, I started really dedicating myself to breathing practices. Now, I thought it was meditation at that time. So I would do 5 minutes in the morning of some breathing techniques. And then during the day, I would leave my desk and go drive behind a bank and take 5 more minutes to do my breathing practice. Yeah. And then at night, do my breathing practice. And this just kind of made me feel so different as I walked through the day.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because I really needed to rely on those practices when some real tragedies happened in my family. I had, within 6 months, I had some significant losses. I lost my daughter and my husband and my father and an aunt. And that was in 6 months. And if I didn't have those breathing practices, I think my whole life could have been derailed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think the idea of, and it, like you said, it could be starting with eating mindfully one meal a day.
Yeah.
Or starting out with a breathing practice, you know, one time in the morning, 5 minutes.
Right.
And noticing that difference. Because our society does not suggest this for us.
No.
The more you're doing, the more successful you are.
Right. And that's actually, you beat me to it, what I was going to say. This is, you know, again, it seems a very simple thing. And, you know, I have, I guess, the privilege of knowing some of this information as well, having gone through, like yourself, like a yoga teacher training, you know, training and being in this space for quite a bit of time. But it's so much easier said than done sometimes. But it's not impossible, right? Again, we're so conditioned to go, 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 do, 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 and not think and grab some food on the way and whatever, and don't take 5 minutes to breathe because you don't have 5 minutes to breathe. But, you know, hearing what you've said and how essential and critical it is to have something for yourself to ground yourself and something that allows you to check back in, right, is the game changer.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes. Like if I could offer to your readers, just your listeners, just 5 minutes, you know, if we had longer, I would even say like, this would be the perfect time, but like where they put their feet on the ground, solidly on the ground, and feel the earth supporting them, that they're not floating. They're not by themselves. We are all here together. Feel the ground.
Yeah.
Feel the support. You know, we're sitting on a seat. Feel that you're supported. Let your shoulders relax a little. Notice if you're holding it in your eyes. Take 5 minutes to do a body scan.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes, within that 5 minutes, not an additional 5 minutes, a 5 minutes to let your breath just follow it all the way up to the third eye and all the way down behind the belly button, getting past the chest, getting that air into that diaphragmatic breathing. 5 minutes. And then the last part of it is, within the 5 minutes, you don't just jump up. It's not a should. It's not, but I should do this. You know, Patty Jean said it. And I sound pretty happy. Notice what's happening. Notice your parasympathetic system coming in, and you're no longer in that, you know,
fight or flight,
yeah, run away. We're in the safety of our own home, but we walk around so many times not feeling safe. And so if we could bring that feeling and stay there. So Dr. Lott, who is my teacher, one of my wonderful teachers at the Ayurvedic Institute, he says the healing occurs in the gap. And that beautiful breath work that we just did, it needs time. Our body, our mind, and our soul need time for that to have it actually become part of us. That 4 minutes that you just spent, you could be laying on your bed.
Yeah.
You'd be on your yoga mat. You could be sitting in your car with the car turned off. Like, that's what I did.
Yeah. Wherever you can find a little sanctuary, right?
Yeah. And just, I would start with that. And then, you know, there's so many books and so many YouTubes that people can access. Try another breathing technique. And so, you know, find which ones work for you. But that getting that breath down, and even slowing down and doing that before you eat your meal.
Yes. Yeah.
That's gonna, maybe you don't change your diet yet. Maybe it's just focusing on the breath at first.
Right. And then that leads to more mindful practices,
like you were saying,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You're like, oh, maybe I don't want this, or maybe I do want this, or, you know, this is good for me. This is not just what have you. But I don't know, just listening to you in those past 2 minutes talking, I was like, okay, I feel better. Thank you.
Maybe we can do another breathing technique in another episode. I'd be more than happy
absolutely,
to do that.
Absolutely. I would love that. Because again, it's so good to have the reminder, and it's so good to be reminded of the tools that are out there, right? For myself, or, you know, I'm sure you benefit from reminders, even though you are in it, you know, consistently. And to our listeners, right? I know we've had some episodes in the past about mindful practices, but this is just another, I guess, aspect of mindfulness, right? And this is coming from, like, what I call the big pot of mindfulness Ayurveda practice to me, right?
Yes.
And in addition, yoga, right? You and I have gone through this, and what some
and
folks
yoga,
don't realize, like, it's not just a down dog and you're done. There are many elements to yoga, one of which is breathing, right? So we have all of these little tools in our tool belt, whether we realize it or not. And we have the ability to, I suppose, maybe change our current state of existence. Maybe is that fair to say?
Yes, in your present moment, in our present moment, we have that ability to see things new, because every moment is different than the last.
Yeah.
So even like in a fiery conversation, we could use that, take a moment, you know, the have a Twix bar. Well, instead of the Twix, it could be the breath.
Yeah.
And in that breath, the other person that you're having the conversation with might not even know you're doing it. But in that moment, you can take and look at that person as not so separate from yourself. And so more connected. And you might just look with compassion instead of anger. And that could change that whole conversation, that whole business transaction, that or that whole relationship issue with your girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, sister.
Yeah.
And everything could change within a moment,
right?
Which is so fascinating.
It's wild, right? It seems, again, it seems so simple, but it seems so like, surely not. Like, how could all of that power exist in a moment, right? How could that possibly be? But we know it does, right?
Yeah.
We know that there's science to back it. There's thousands of years to back it. And we see it if we do it.
And then, I noticed something at a beautiful bhakti yoga class I went to. I go on Sundays. And then you see people, not just one individual doing it. You ever go to a class that's like really packed, and everyone starts out spread around, and you have your own personal space, and you're all separate. And then these like really great, you know, a lot of our great classes, you know, people start filling in, and you're shift this way, a little shift that way, shift this way. And all of a sudden you look around and 75 people have now just moved a little bit.
Yeah.
And now double the people are experiencing this benefit. And nobody's the worse off for taking that little micro step, that little, you know, how long does it take when we're in those classes? Like 2 or 3 minutes while everyone shifts around a little, right. And there's plenty of room for everyone to have.
Right.
Yeah.
And whether we, you know, getting out of our way, it's funny, you were saying like cramming into a class. And I was like, thinking about cases where that's happened. And I'm, you know, I'm tall, I'm long, I've got long limbs. And I always think, I'm like, oh my God, there's no space for anybody. Like, I'm going to hit them and I'm not going to be able to extend or whatever. But it always works.
It does. But we think in that moment that we have to choose whether or not we're going to say, no, I was here first.
Yeah.
I want these 2 feet on the side of me because my legs are long.
Yeah.
But in that moment, you choose, you know, this person's here too.
Right.
Let me move over. And by the end, you're like, yeah, you want to go get coffee?
Exactly. And, you know,
it is in those moments. And I think that's the thing that if we remember that it's not going to happen. I'll tell you, I just really, you know what I'm probably going to say here, and probably your listeners do too. But the idea of taking it off the mat, like doing that work, like I had mentioned, if I hadn't done that work, which I didn't actually do it for a specific reason, I wasn't having like any terrible issues, but for some reason the universe was there telling me this is what you got to do. And I just went with this flow, and it started flowing and flowing. Then I became having this more and more of this practice. I would suggest if they're listening, even if they aren't in touch with the fact yet that maybe some things are going on, if they're listening, there's probably a reason. If they're listening to this specific
episode,
starting that breathing practice would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows what's coming down next week. But if you can be prepared with that breath and being able to get in that moment to moment, and then letting it fall into the food choices, like you said, into relationships, into spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we don't even have time. We don't think we have time. I'm not talking about religion. It's, you know, many times religion can be division.
Sure.
You know, so that's another thing that I hear a lot from my teachers. This is about like that aspiring to connect to divinity and aspiring to do better as a person.
Yeah.
To have an ideal to worship,
whatever that looks like to you, right?
Yeah, like my human condition, like you were saying, like, you know, yeah, we're when we want that pizza, no matter if we get a stomach ache or not from it, sometimes we're going to have the pizza.
But
to be striving towards that ideal.
Sure, right.
To whatever that ideal is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Whether that's, you know, physical health, mental health, the whole package, right?
Yeah.
Those little steps, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Something above us that might guide us, or not losing our own personal responsibility in life, but having some guidance from sometimes, you know, we're just in the flow.
Yeah.
You know, and the universe, it's there. There's no mistake. And the more we can be in that flow with that connectedness, it just makes life a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to solve everything, right? And you're still going to be potentially faced with, you know, whatever, hardships, good things, but
we have our lessons to learn. And we have this life to do better.
Right. Exactly. And there are tools to help us along that journey.
Yes.
And I would say, listeners, like, if you're hearing this, I, you know, speaking for myself, I don't have all the answers. I don't know if anybody has all the answers.
No.
So maybe Patty Jean has all the answers.
No. Yeah, I get a stomach ache from pizza, but do I still have pizza sometimes? The other thing we do say jokingly is that, again, nothing is bad. Maybe I need that reminder of that pizza.
Right.
And then, you know, to say maybe the next day I'll think not only about the pizza and how it made me uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but by taking in or responding to something in that way did not allow me to enjoy my life the fullest. And you know how that falls into all into our, the foods we eat or the health we have falls into how we experience life through our senses. You know, do we see the beauty of the flower? Do we even, can we, or are we, do we have a headache?
Right.
You know, did what we ate or what we consumed, do we get a headache, or can we see the mountains? Can we see the person that we love and truly love them? You know, can we experience that bird chirping? Like how our senses are directly impacted. And then that really will directly impact how we can enjoy life. And that's something I say so often, and anytime anyone will ask me a question, is we are meant to make this heaven on earth.
And that's what, you know, it just brought up something as you were saying this. Again, it's probably not a linear path for the majority of us, right? But I think once you start, not to use the word mindfulness, but there really is no other word, once you incorporate more mindfulness and find the things like, hey, this actually makes me feel good, right? Yeah. That in and of itself is something that, you know, inherently, I don't think that we want to feel bad, right?
No.
There's some things that we know are probably not super healthy for us or good for us. And we get stuck in those patterns because it's familiar. But I think inherently we want to feel good. And if we can start to say, okay, well, yeah, pizza tastes good. I love it. And keep going back to the pizza analogy.
No, poor
pizza. Every now and then. I know.
80-20.
Exactly, right? And now we're like, okay, well, you know, I know I'm going to have a stomachache the next day, but man, I'm going to treat my taste buds. Or, hey, you know what? This just isn't worth it to me anymore. Whatever it is, whether it's pizza or a relationship. You know, that's something that I'm really been working on this past, you know, year or so is the people pleasing, right? And who do I want to keep in my orbit, right? Because that, like you said, that is something that I'm feeding myself, whether it's not like physical food. And that's hard, right? I think especially as women, we're conditioned to be people pleasers and, okay, I'm going to sacrifice what feels good for me for the benefit of others. And it's super uncomfortable, but it's necessary. Right. And I think after you get past that initial, like, oh God, this is so good, I can't do this, you start to get a little bit of power back and you start to feel a little bit more of that ease.
Oh, and that's something. That.
Yeah. And I think this is, you know, this is why I wanted to bring you on and have these conversations. This is clearly a topic. And I know you should be talking. I'm talking too much on this episode now. Not. Sorry, listeners, but.
No, I think it's a perfect flow. Yeah, I love it.
They're like, hey, Megan, we didn't listen to hear you.
No. Well, you brought up that point of growth and being uncomfortable. Mm. And I think about the seed and how we have everything we need, just like a seed does, right, to grow. Mm-hmm. But breaking out of that seed coating, you know, I don't have a, you know, direct experience, but it can't be great. Like that's pretty, can sometimes they have a pretty hard shell and sometimes you even need to like do some little scrapes on the seeds to allow them.
Yeah.
And so, I was a school teacher for a while, not just a while, for 25 years.
No, I was going to ask.
Yeah. And, I absolutely love my students and I still miss it. But one of the things was, and I have had quite a few of them say, they remember me saying to this, is that it's okay if you feel uncomfortable or you feel sad or you feel scared, because growth, that's not always easy.
Mm-mm.
But what you're saying about taking these small steps and by just incorporating, like you were talking about, whether it's yoga or breath work or food, whatever you start with, mind, body, soul, whatever you start with, just take 5 minutes to yourself to do it. And I'll go to that as well, is one thing that did really help me is making a plan for that.
Mm.
I was talking about the doshas a little bit, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha.
I know. I wish we did a whole episode for the
yeah,
doshas.
Another
I love
episode.
It.
Yeah, we
but
can do that.
in summary, yeah.
But one of the things is that within the Vata is that you're going to have a lot of creativity and a lot of flexibility. And that's like a lot of us have, you know, maybe more of that than others. Mm-hmm. So that would be me. And also, I'm in that stage of life. At this age, should I tell you?
Liz, you can, whatever you want to do.
Yes, so I'm 61, and yeah, I'm
and
back.
You look 25, no joke. Like, so.
Well, I'm back at school. I got my master's degree years ago, but now I'm back at school to go for my doctorates at 61. But with this Vata stage of life, which is this, you know, this last stage of life, let's be honest, I still have that, you know, that tendency to that creativity can get in the way, the point of this, and that enthusiasm can get in the way of my ability to be stable and secure in my practices. So
yeah.
I particularly had to make sure that I would set a certain time. I'd look at my calendar and set a time. When am I going to do my breathing practices?
Yeah.
You know, even if I want to have, prepare food for the meat, for the healthy eating for a couple of days, I have to plan for that and then actually stick to it.
Yeah.
So, I know some people are better at that. So it's not saying that this is for everybody.
You're talking to a fellow Vata.
Yeah,
so I get it.
I know. Yeah. So, and I mean, it's a beautiful thing about us. I mean, that's why you're, you know, on a, doing all this amazing artistic and creative things. But we have to tune in to get to know ourselves and know what will support us. And knowing what will support us will allow us for success and then see how we feel good about it. Right. And so I just felt so great after 1 week of, you know, 5 minutes a day doing breath work.
Yeah.
And then the next week getting 5 minutes on, and then the next week, but I picked a time I was going to do it. I picked a place. I set the place up. So this is suggestions for your listeners.
Yeah.
You know, don't just be like, oh yeah, tomorrow I'm going to do that breath work that Patty G mentioned. You know, take a piece of paper and be like, okay, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I go into the office a little later. I do have 5 minutes. I'm going to do it, you know, right before I eat. I'm going to do it before I get out of bed. So I do it. And so that's one big suggestion I would love to give your listeners, to make a plan of when to do it.
Yeah.
And then if you find that you want to do it more, go ahead, but stick to that. That feels really good. You know, even give yourself a little chart. I mean, I do that. Myself
you
a
put
chart.
Some gold stars. Ever the teacher, Patty Jean, ever
I
the
do.
Teacher.
It works. And the other part before I'm talking about getting out of bed is before I get out of bed, I really don't want this part to leave if we run out of time.
Yeah.
One of the biggest
as
things
as
for, that I would love for your listeners to hear one more time, because I'm sure they've heard it before, that idea of gratitude. And before I get out of bed, this I did ever since ever since I was young. Before I get out of bed, I will say three things that I'm thankful for. And it can be as much as something as like a body system.
Yeah.
You know, or like my eyesight.
Right.
Or it can be something, you know, like my children.
Right.
Or a relationship. Three things. It takes a few moments.
Right.
If it's really hard to do, that's even more so that gratitude
to do it.
Changes the ability to see those times and those moments during the day that are more heated. In your own bed, and you're feeling safe. And maybe you just did the body scan. Maybe you did your 5 minutes before or after. I do it before, just because it's like, I love thinking about what I'm thankful for. It makes me happy. It starts my day. But then there's one other thing I do that is I think of three things I'm proud of that I accomplished within the 24 hours before.
That's new.
So those three, six things I do before my feet hit the floor.
And I'm sure that takes all of what? 5 minutes total,
Not
right?
even.
6 minutes total, not even.
Yeah, I have to
And
cut
that's
myself
simple as
short.
that.
It's so
Yeah.
fun. But yeah, that's pretty awesome. But I did just, I mean, I don't think about the other things that maybe I didn't accomplish or do wrong or, still have on the to-do list from 3 months ago. But I find that people will say, like, well, yeah, you're kind of getting, my age is, getting up there. And a lot of people are kind of slowing down and thinking about what their life has been. And I have this whole new stage coming up for me where I'm gonna help and share with people, hopefully a way that they can enjoy life more. I mean, who gets that after a great career? And
Yeah, but it's
it's
amazing. It actually, that just gave me goosebumps because it's so exciting, right? It's
so exciting.
so exciting, and I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait for you to continue to share your gifts with others, right? Whether it's the listeners on this podcast, whether it's whomever, because anybody that crosses your path is going to be so much better off for it. Like I know I am.
Oh, I felt the
And
same. We didn't get to
oh,
talk about how you helped me, but well, another time.
and that's really interesting. Again, not to make this about me, but you hear about, okay, let's do breath work and let's do things you're grateful for, but it was just when you said things that you're proud of yourself, I was like, my brain just went like, does not compute, because
Hard.
it's so hard. And I'm like, I think I'm gonna start doing that as my practice, as part of
And
my
you're so
practice.
generous with compliments to others. That's like you have like a one step in the right direction. Some people that's even harder for to eat, right? So it's so hard for us to like kind of recognize
Ourselves.
the parts of us.
Yeah. We're again, it's, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. But why not?
And I love when people share really wonderful things they did. I had a cousin, she shared on one of her family group texts, "Sorry to brag about me, but I want to tell you something good I did." And
Like, go on, girl.
I put a 3-page paper on that. I'm like, I have to go with it. It's like going to be a chapter in my book. It's about why aren't we sharing more of what we're doing good? Why are we so drawn to everybody, will say, like, why can't we have more news reports about like the good
Yes, I
things
was
that are
just going to
happening?
say that.
They are happening. The media is just it's presenting to us what we're kind of gravitating towards, and that's another way of just like when we eat the wrong food
We
at the
consuming the wrong
beginnings,
content.
yeah, in the beginning stages of disease, as the doshas are accumulating and we're getting out of balance, we don't crave the things that are going to contribute to that being out of balance. So there's six stages of disease that we talk about. In those first stages, we do not crave the food that is not going to help. We usually crave the opposite, like back in the beginning, talking about that story. It's in the later stages of disease that we crave the things that are going to compound. And that's the same thing. It's what happens within happens outside, what happens above happens below, all those same. And so we are drawn to this negative media, which is a later stage of disease in another way of looking at it. It's the same way as like when we're on a healthy relationship. At first we might, go against it, and then we actually at times, like when it's really in those bad stages of crave the very thing that
Because it's
doesn't contribute.
familiar or it becomes, yeah, whatever it is, the like attracts like, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's hard to break those patterns, but if we can do it, much better off, much better off.
Yeah, and if we could do it
Okay.
within ourselves
Yes.
first, that's
Yes.
the key of,
I think it
which,
has to be done, right? You
oh,
can't,
yeah. That took me a long time. I did not learn that properly. I always was like looking outside of what's gonna, make me a better person, what's gonna make
Oh,
me a better
right.
mom, a better teacher, what's outside, what class can I
Right.
take? But we really have to look inside.
And in doing that, I mean, you find a lot more of I guess what I'm experiencing is kind of like that route, right? Maybe it's not so
Yes.
pretty, or maybe it's not so like, oh, I'm just going to take a class and then I'm going to be great. Or, you know, I'm going to go volunteer some more or something. And then I'll be, you know, saved. Now you have to kind of do that like grunt work, that ground level work. Sometimes it can be grunty, right?
And
But
seeing that and not, you know, retelling your story about how bad that is, but
no,
just
it
understanding the
is.
human condition.
Right.
And once you can do that in yourself, you can do it with others. And then that's when it starts just
Spreading.
becoming exponential.
Yes.
That's what happens. And you know,
Yes.
when you're in that mood and you're walking through the grocery store, people are like drawn to you when you're feeling forgiving of yourself and open and loving to yourself, and you know, maybe you even, you know, have a little more pep in your step.
Feeling it,
Yeah, you're feeling
you
it, and people feel it.
know?
And then all of a sudden, the person's like, "You made my day!" Like, and or you know, and that's not that's the we're looking for an attachment to the outcome, but
No.
we've all seen it. Like, I'm just kind of doing that as evidence. Being attached to that outcome is another, you know, suffering.
Right, the
But
value, external validation, right? Like
I
that.
was just
It's
trying
a
to like
happy, oh, it's a happy, what's the word I want? Result, I guess. Not expected, not the end game, but a nice little consolation prize for the work that you're doing within. So I know as we're coming to our time together, I could keep talking to you
Oh, I could
forever.
talk to you forever. We
I
need to
know,
have
I know.
another
We'll have to have
retreat.
another episode more. We can
Oh.
dive into some topics a little bit more, but
Yeah,
I'm so grateful
anything.
for all the information that you shared and introducing, you know, some of us to what Ayurveda is, all of the possibilities and benefits that it can bring to your life, and sharing some of the things and lessons and experiences that you've had in this space too, and hopefully, you know, shedding some light or possibilities to our listeners that, you know, change is within and change is possible. And one last thing I want to talk about. I know I have a couple of you, but this, when I see your posts on Facebook sometimes and the meals that you make. And for me, this
Oh.
kind of just encompasses your personality. And it's what is it? Life is meant to be yummy, right?
Oh
You say
yeah.
that all the time on your posts.
Life
And I'm
is
like,
meant to be
yes.
yummy. Yeah, that's a really great topic that I would love to share another time. And anything that your listeners, you know, come up with questions like, and you want to like make a little list, even if it's not for like a interview, but if there's any way I can answer anything, like this is what I'm doing this for.
And what I can do
And,
is I can put in the notes of this episode any, you know, any website or any recommendations or links that you want to share with the listeners. We can absolutely include that in
yeah.
the notes for the show.
But life is meant to be yummy. Something that I just want to tell everyone, because the yumminess of your food, the yumminess of your relationships, the yumminess of wholesome sensuality, it doesn't stop, you know, after your prime teenage years. And when I talk about yummy and sensuality, like the deliciousness of food, the deliciousness of aroma, like our senses are gifts to us.
Definitely.
Are absolutely gifts to us. And so much in people that I talk to, they've lost that just deliciousness of life with themselves and in relationships. And this would take a whole nother conversation to introduce properly and not go down, you know, a lane we're not ready to, but that part of our lives is important.
It
Our
is.
sensuality is important. Our enjoyment in life. It's kind of like if someone gives you a beautiful gift and you just don't unwrap it. I don't know. That would really hurt my feelings if that's me giving the gift and it's not unwrapped. And we've been given this gift of this human body, this human physical experience. And we're only given first a little bit of time.
Start unwrapping.
Start unwrapping. And age is no barrier.
Oh my God, I feel like that's a perfect place to put a pin in it for now. As much as I don't want to, but I know you are a busy lady with lots to do and lots to share. If you'll humor me, just what we like to ask all of our interviewees to share some of the things that you find interesting, any books you're reading rather, or any podcasts that you're listening that you may want to share with our listeners.
Well, I hate to say it because I did listen to your podcast and I knew the book question was coming up. I actually hate to say it, but I am in a complete nonfiction situation.
Why do you hate to say it?
Because
nothing
I love
wrong with
fiction
that.
As well. I love fiction.
Well, you're also studying right now, so
I'm
give yourself
studying,
credit.
And so what I would suggest if people are interested in the topic of Ayurveda is my teacher, Dr. Laud. I'm going to spell his name for you, or you probably know it, but it's VASANTLAD, Dr. Laud. He has many books out and many articles. And these are the books that you probably studied in your yoga teacher training, or at least now these are, some of them are more for the, for just general people who want to read about the topic. Then the other, I love Kate O'Donnell for the cooking books.
Okay.
I love her books.
Yeah.
And, I would suggest her. And a great way to start off with this, if you don't want to get too technical, is back to the cooking books. I do love cookbooks and I do love, you know, life is meant to be yummy. And to start, and a lot of times in the beginning, they have a beautiful start to the cookbook with an introduction so that you can follow the principles and get the benefit of the principles by the food.
Yeah.
And then, so that's a really nice way to start.
Yeah, makes it digestible. Pun totally intended.
And Dr. Laud's wife has a cookbook. It's awesome. Life's Balance is a beautiful cookbook. That's another, I love the start of that. I think starting off with some cookbooks that have some really great,
that's a great
intro.
Suggestion. Yeah.
It's written for, you know, not someone who's necessarily studying to be a health counselor or a health practitioner, but I love that idea of the cookbook.
I think that's a great, you know, again, it's very easy to kind of categorize, or I keep saying digest because it's, I can't help a good pun, but but it is, it makes it digestible and it makes it a nice, easy kind of introduction into this space.
Yeah, I wish I would have thought to actually get you a better, more complete list of the
cooking. That's totally fine. That's totally fine.
Now, you know what? Maybe one day we can do a whole, you know, thing on the cooking.
That would be great. I think I would love that. And I'll just be busy taking notes the whole time. Like, ooh, okay, make that next and make that next.
Yeah. And so I don't, that's, I am, we study a lot at the Ayurvedic Institute.
Yes, you do. I mean, even in our retreat, you were studying.
Remember I was even taking tests.
I do,
studying.
Yes. Which shows your commitment, right? You are on your path.
Yeah.
So I would love to keep talking to you forever and ever. I'm really hoping that we piqued some interest in this space, and thank you so much for sharing your gift, your time, your energy with us. It has been an absolute pleasure. I'm so happy that we got to connect again in this context.
Yeah.
And we will speak soon. So thank you so much, Patty Jean.
Do you want
so
me to give you my email if people have questions, or should they go?
Sure. Yeah, if you're comfortable with sharing that, we can absolutely send that out.
Yeah, absolutely, because I'd love to answer questions. I am on Facebook, and I just keep my personal Facebook page for everybody. I used to keep it private, but
yeah,
it just has gotten so beautiful where people are interacting. And then they can get to know me a little better as well.
Yeah. So we can share that as well. And then, you know, listeners, please, if you have questions or, you know, curious about anything that we discussed today, Paigine has graciously made herself available to those questions. So I highly encourage taking advantage of it and getting to know her more.
Yeah. So my email is pattyjean.yoga. Gmail. That's easy. You know that.
Yeah.
And then for Facebook, you can just look me up at Patty Jean McTiernan.
Perfect.
I do have a business page, but I think people can just come on over and, you know, ask me questions. They can
Excellent.
Direct message me.
Perfect. All right. Listeners, take advantage of that for sure. Patty Jean, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you
so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isn't she great? I think we definitely have to have her back. I hope you gained some new perspective and enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed recording this. I hope this leaves you with a reminder to find what brings you balance, to remember to breathe, and to always keep life yummy. Until next time.